shot, baby.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Philio here with Raj Pods.
We're here, man. I'm pumped to have you here. You're just an interesting guy in Cleveland.
Oh man, I like to tell you a lot about myself.
I'm excited because I get to watch you on Instagram, mostly on the CRP. You really hit it.
Yeah,
you really hit it hard.
Never been done. I think the best part is we've had reporting, but somebody really feet on the ground from what they call the trenches, from the neighborhood, really see it on the regular, been a part of a lot of it. It hit different. Right. It's almost like your brother coming in the house or your sister coming in the house and telling you what happened vividly or allowing you to see it. It feels a little more comfortable than complete strangers, you know, because people can reach me and I'm outside in the thick of it all the time. It's easy to keep them informed.
So where'd you grow up?
Buckeye.
Okay.
East side of Cleveland.
Okay, so you were really in the
born
thick
and
of
raised,
it.
Really in the thick of it.
Why start reporting on this? Because here's my question, and I see these comments sometimes, right?
You're
right. You'll report something, and all you're doing is reporting it. You're not snitching on nobody. It's nothing like that, right? But people will be like, this motherfucker is doing this, doing that. You know what I'm saying? How do you deal with that? Like, when you first saw that happen, did you feel any conflict of interest in that at all?
No, not at all. Being from the streets, have done 5 years in prison.
Okay.
I know the street codes. You know, front and back.
Right.
If I get to the scene and a cop is on the scene, there ain't nothing I can tell that's going to aid or abet their arrest that they're doing.
Right.
I'm reporting and informing you on what's already taking place.
Of course.
If he was running from the cops and has been apprehended, and I say it's your boy Philio here reporting live, and this guy ran from the police, he's already in police custody. There's nothing that I'm doing that can get him more time or convicted. And none of my situations. And the ones that I do get in my phone where people actually send me a lot of stuff that could get people, I don't post those things. I have a lot of integrity with this. Now, as any other news source or journalist, if I'm on the scene, I have to report and inform based off what's told to me. And now that I have the connections I have, ambulance, fire truck, and police all tell me what's going on. Almost immediately.
Yeah, because when they see you on scene, they're like, oh, it's Philio.
Yeah, it's Philio, CRP, yeah. What can you tell me? They won't give me name, age, or gender, but sometimes they, you know, will.
Yeah, of course.
They'll tell me exactly what happened.
Yeah, because you know what one of my favorites was, which is, it kind of gave me a taste of, like, you're there to report. This is what I'm doing, was the gentleman that killed the guy, the road rage incident in Valley View.
About 2 weeks ago.
You did a situation with him, an interview with him.
Yeah.
I was like, when I saw that, I was like, damn, I don't know if I would have done the interview if I was you, but if I was that guy, I don't think I would have done that interview, right?
Yeah.
Because of all the things, you know, just, you know how it is.
Right.
And so was there a conflict with that at all either?
He's been exonerated. He has not one charge.
Mm-hmm.
He has nothing. He has paperwork from...
I'm just saying, was there a fear that potentially there could have been down the road?
Nah. Not for me, because I explained that to the individual. Like, we don't have to do this. His thing was he was already seeing the media take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get in touch with a media source that would allow him to tell the truth. He told me exactly what he told the police, hence the reason why he was released 4 hours after they arrested
him. So he felt like he was being done wrong.
Yeah, I didn't go to him.
I believe that.
I don't reach out to nobody for no interview. He reached out to me. Actually, his mother-in-law reached out to me.
I think your reach is bigger than that of the news.
Way bigger. They tell me that. The news tell me that.
And the CRP is, I think, a crucial part of it. But it gives you a real glimpse into what is going on in Cleveland, bro.
It's really going
on.
Like,
it's fucking bad, bro.
It's bad. It's so bad that... When I say this, people don't get it. It's like if we had a chalkboard right here and I could draw it, they'd fully understand it, right?
Yeah.
So out the womb, in my demographic and in Cleveland, typically about 6 months in, the kid got a phone with YouTube on it, right? Or something to keep them distracted is what it's really coming down to.
Right.
Some parents say entertain, but it's a distraction because that Coca-Melon, constant lights and colors keeps them focused, which keeps him quiet,
right?
So now he come of age, and about 3 or 4, he's picking controllers up and might not really know the functionality, but can actually, like, do simple stuff, even with a remote with the TV or with a phone going to a video they like, knowing how to go to history. It's like two buttons, and then they can scroll and click, right? And then you get them about, just fast forward 10, they're elite on video games. And the highest selling games is typically shooting games.
Okay.
So like Fortnite is one of the highest downloaded games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty is one of the highest selling games. So typically if it's a boy, he's automatically about 13, he's a sharpshooter. You give him a real gun, take him to a gun range, he probably outshoot his parents.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah, because he's repeatedly doing it all the time. I understand.
And they're making it so real as they advance technology. You're more in a gun shooting setting on a game to where when you give them an actual gun, the only thing different is the recoil.
Right.
So once they get that, you run around with a bunch of hitmen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening in Cleveland.
How often are we seeing like shootings? Like actual shootings?
Every day.
Every day.
All day.
No matter what.
Viewers wouldn't believe it. When I say every day, I'm talking every day, all day. All day.
And it's not unfamiliar to you, though.
No.
That's what's crazy for me.
I can go to sleep to gunshots.
So that's what's weird. So for me, I'm from Rocky River. You can go to sleep to gunshots over there.
Not at all.
Super different. Super
different. Not at all.
And I've done...
Very low crime rate.
And I find it really interesting. Hoods all over I find interesting, right? Because mm-hmm. each one is different. The way the gangs operate and the sets operate are kind of different everywhere you go, right? LA is different than Atlanta, than Chicago, than, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I've spent a lot of time in Compton with some Pyrus and some OGs down over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been fortunate to get a peek into their life. They've been super cool to me. And the camaraderie between these guys is unbelievable, right? It's like this family idea, if mm-hmm. that makes sense, right? And I can understand how a young man could get totally sucked into that by being like, yeah, these guys are great. They love me. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes down to it, what I've always realized is these guys will put themselves in situations, and then when the police come, everybody's snitching, right?
Snitching,
and so there really is no love. And it's just, I can't understand. I mean, I can understand, you know, trying to save your own ass and save your own life, but mm-hmm. what I can't understand is why everybody says, like, I'm a gangster, I'm this, I'm that. And then most people snitch.
A gangster can snitch.
And it happens.
A serial killer can snitch. See, snitching is not the demographic you in. Snitching is the action of something that you do. You know what I mean? So you could really be a gangster and snitch and come back out and nobody ever test your gangster because they know you're a real gangster.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? So with snitching, it's not like, well, you can't really be what you said you is because you told on somebody. You know, you can actually be that and be a snitch. The problem with snitching is not enough people are holding accountable the big fish that snitch. You get what I'm saying?
I understand.
So when a big fish come home, when a 6ix9ine come home,
mm-hmm.
full blown, he did it.
Yo, he, yeah,
that
he,
guy.
Well, and
right
he's throwing
there,
it in people's faces,
yes,
too.
When you see that, and no one handles that, right? But you see so many of these guys get killed. Entertainers get killed. You know, you got the Young Dolphs, you got the overdoses like the Rich Homie Quantum. You see so many variables take place, and then you see him come home snitching, still alive, still rich, still with beautiful women.
Yep.
If you can get anybody knocked off from what we looking at, the Julio Fulio, we can see all of them now, Mo3, any of them. If you can get them knocked off that easy, you're not trying to knock off 6ix9ine. He's not moving with militant. No.
No, if they wanted to get 6ix9ine, that wouldn't be nothing.
They don't want him.
I don't think he spends a lot of time in the United States anymore. He got in a lot of trouble recently, I believe, down in...
You put a hit on somebody,
somewhere else,
anybody can get you.
Well, I'll tell you,
especially in the DR, you know, over there, I ain't got...
Is that where he is, the DR?
Yeah, because he'll show him building houses and different stuff like that.
That's crazy. I mean, for real. But I think what's... Yeah, that guy, because I saw him on, like, Impulsive, and he was just talking a lot of shit about, yeah, I did it, I snitched. You know, I this, I that. And I was
you don't
like,
get penalized for that no more.
Yeah.
People going right back to their neighborhood. If you was a big enough resource for the neighborhood, hey, you know, we understand you had to get back out here. I left street politics alone when I realized that people didn't have no moral compass no more.
I understand.
You know, once that went out the window and, you know, a child came into play, it was real easy to take a step back.
So you said you did 5 years.
Yes.
And was it a consecutive five?
Yes, straight five.
So, like, and I've interviewed, like, one of my best friends, he did 16 years,
mm-hmm.
Some in solitary stuff. So, like, I kind of have a glimpse into, like, what that's like. But is that why you're not part of, well, I don't know what you did, but part of that life, per se, anymore?
Yeah, that's exactly why. That and being shot twice.
Damn, you got shot twice?
Yeah. When you
two separate occasions, or
yes, two separate occasions. When you in the streets, I'll tell you something. It's only hard to get out if you don't have a rehabilitation type of mindset.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if you're willing to rehabilitate yourself, like coming from...
It's like being an addict.
It's no different than being an addict. In my 10 years of being home, I noticed a lot of people have went back. They wasn't there for rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. They were simply caged away for a crime they committed that they didn't learn from. So a lot of times, and for people that have been on the inside, they'll know this to be true. You become like we're a genius in prison. Like... It's unbelievable, the knowledge.
That's so...
It blows your mind. You'll become a whole different type of individual, and it could be good or bad. And in the best or the worst way, it's the college that you will never find out here. Ever.
That's such a great way to...
No prerequisites that you can do. No syllabus that can have... It don't matter what you do. I don't care if it's Harvard. The most prestigious. Ivy League, nothing. I'm going to tell you why. Because they have... a formula, and they have a blueprint of how they want to teach you for the next X amount of years if you're taking that major or minor. You don't know who coming through the prison door day by day. 1 year in there, you're going to see a cycle of like six cycling, which means people released and people come.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised who come through them prison doors. And when I tell you, like, you'll learn scamming like you never knew it. You'll learn cooking like you never knew it. You'll learn ingenuity. You'll learn resources. We didn't have an oven. And literally ate so good. It's a guy in Cleveland right now with a break. He make prison breaks.
Oh, yeah. And with the noodles and everything?
Going crazy. You ever notice that, like me, I got 89 tattoos, majority of them from prison. They look amazing. And people have literally told me, man, I wouldn't mind doing a couple weekends in prison to get tatted up, but I wouldn't want to go because I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's the place that most don't ever go. And... Saved my life. I'm still alive. I would have surely been dead if I didn't go to prison. Like 100%.
That's really interesting. I'd say that some of the smartest people I know have been to prison, right? And then, you know, my buddy who owns a couple big companies, we do a lot of business together. And then I have I interviewed recently was that Matt Cox guy. And it was for a different situation. I didn't interview him for the podcast. But he defrauded the banks of like $55 million. You know, and I was like sitting there thinking, I'm like, could you imagine like that being your cellmate? You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You're going to get those kind of people in there.
You're going to get them as cellmates. You're going to get them on a yard. And when you get them, they just want to pour into you. Think of it like this. It's the greatest mental vacation you ever going to have as an adult. I tell you why. Out here, once you become an adult, you do more of the promiscuous stuff you was probably willing to do in your late teens. Right. So if you was drinking a little bit, you're probably drinking a lot. Screwing a little bit, you're screwing a whole lot more. You was hustling, you're probably hustling more, right? Then you get to this place where you can't do pretty much nothing. Like, yeah, people throw stuff over the fence and contraband and all that, but that's not how people think it is.
It's not going to stimulate you like the outside.
It's not. Like, you're not going to have access to it enough to be addicted.
Right.
Type. You know what I mean? You can go a whole 2 years before something hit the yard because they cracked down. So what I'm saying is you don't have the women. You learn how to talk better than you ever have because all you got is 15 minutes on the phone. Men are physically with her. You have to mentally be with her. So you have to train your mind to execute in 15 minutes to keep money on your phone from this woman, to keep her driving 2.5 hours to come see you, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Right? You never going to get workout like this. You have some of the greatest workout gurus because he's been here 20 years. They took muscles. I mean, they took free weights out because the gangs used to drop them on each other and kill each other. Yeah. So now... He been in here straight cardio calisthenics.
Which is like the best kind of workouts.
Man, the best ever, man. They in here making protein shakes out. He's just like, it's unbelievable. But you don't have all the stuff that distracts you out here. You don't have the women. You don't have the liquor. You don't have the drugs. You don't have none of that. You don't have kids that just popped up.
I've heard that people say, they're like, yeah, you get on the outside and you like realize how unnecessary so many things are.
So many things. They'll tell you, man, I live such a frugal life and I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy, man.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. You don't need none of that stuff, man. None of it. It's like you don't got it in there and literally come out. And how ironic you don't have it in there, but come out. And most guys, when they walk out the prison door, got a glow, a real glow.
Yeah.
Like it's a look. Then they come out here and you see how much stuff they put in our food and how they doing the brands. We all wear the same color, blues or oranges in prison. We can do a little tailoring and make it look a certain way. You know what I mean? Because you got people that get sold. We all look alike in there, right? You get out here and... The actual brands of clothes have got people killed. The brands of shoes have got people killed. And there, I'm not about to kill you over no blues or oranges.
But what's crazy is, so out here, that actually leads to a pretty good point, right? Actually, let's start with this before I dive into that. How in the world, you do 5 years in prison, you've been shot twice, mm-hmm. I mean, you're not living a good life. You change yourself around. You know, you want to be a better person. You're doing the right thing. What gets you into reporting in the hood?
God, I've only been reporting for 9 months, mm-hmm. right? I never went to school for broadcasting, never went to school for media. I've never reported on nothing ever in my life. I'm 36 years old. I would just be in the city doing philanthropy or advocating and would see stuff and would send it in to Cleveland Remembrance page.
Mm-hmm.
Just sending it in. Then it was like, hey, you seem like you're well-spoken, you know what I mean? So, and you always see stuff. Why don't you try, you know, like just breaking down what's going on?
Yeah.
And like.
And here we are.
Here we are. Literally, first video did 220,000 views. After that, I'm well over 20 million now. But in 9 months, I still can't figure out how. I don't know what I'm going to say when I get to the scene. I don't got a scanner. My daughter, literally, who was with me, would be with me and see something, and I pull over. I don't know. I don't have no story of, you know, I did this for 8 years, and then this turn. I've never in my life reported on nothing. That's why I mess up sometimes as a reporter. The hood reporter.
I think everybody does, though. But yours is a little bit different, right? Yours is real, true, live action, no script. Haven't talked about it. This is where we're at.
Right here.
You know what I'm saying? Anything could happen within the moment. Sometimes you're on the scene when it's still active.
Active.
You know what I mean?
I'd be on the scene with dead bodies.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know if I can handle that. I'm kind
of that wouldn't be crazy because sometimes I'll see like them handling the body.
Yeah.
But they're not about to remove the body yet. So now I'm reporting, and it's a guy over there with a sheet on him that's guaranteed dead. They have told me, confirmed, that it's a male, right? But instantly, as soon as I send it over, I'm still on the scene. It hit CRP, and then the comments know what happened.
Yeah, of course.
The streets know so much,
bro,
man.
The streets
crazy.
Know so much.
They know so much. I be like, the stuff they send me be... I post 10% of the information
Yo,
I know in this.
Y'all
city.
Be snitching on each other out hey, there. Y'all be telling on each other in the comments.
They be telling for sure,
dude.
Man. Hey, they really get.
The one day they're like, yo, dude, that was Willie, bro. It's
hey,
like,
it'd
whoa,
be like,
dude.
It'd be like, and see, that's the thing. I tell people, what made what I did such a big move because we grew up on the news on TV.
Right.
But if you watch Channel 8 on the TV, right, whatever you felt, you probably yelled at the TV or just yelled out loud, but you didn't have a way to call 200,000 people and be like, hey, this is what I think.
Yeah, of course.
When you get the news through the social media way, people now have an outlet to speak through the comments.
Well, and you're getting it fast. You're doing the video and it's out there.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
If I leave right now and catch something, it'll be up before I get home.
You should see some of the shit I see up here. Like at night, like 2 a.m., like some of the fights and stuff.
From this window?
Bro. Yeah. Dude, there's like brawls sometimes like right in the... I've got some videos. Like right in the middle here.
That sounds fun.
Like just... It's crazy, man. People
it's a wild city. One thing I can say is Cleveland is not a real place. This place is filled with so much... It. I had to go other places to really understand like, okay, it's a lot of places that's... You know, like when I was in New York, it's like I've seen a lot of things similar to here. But what I can say is to live here and survive here... Ain't nothing like it.
It's
absolutely nothing like it.
And I try to tell him, you know, my son here, and I try to like explain like you want. I want him to have a great childhood. I want him to remember those things. But like, you got to know really like what you're in for here, right? Because the ones that fail are the ones that are ignorant to the real facts of what it is. You know what I mean? And they're mm-hmm. not prepared. They have no street smarts at all. You know, and that's where it's interesting with you because you're going live into these scenes where people know people, they know you, they know what's going on. I'm sure you've reported on people that you've known or you're one person
yeah.
away from knowing really
yeah.
well or
yeah.
whatever it might
Very
be.
Well.
But you still got all that respect out there, you know?
Yeah, mad respect. They love me. I'm going to tell you why they love me because I ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Crumpton ain't doing nothing. Wayne Dawson ain't doing nothing. Ed Gallick ain't doing nothing. You ain't never seen a reporter or the journalist die.
Wayne Dawson's wild.
He's wild.
Why Wayne Dawson? Kenny Crumpton, he likes to turn it up from what I heard.
Real
I heard that like 15 years
but
ago.
But you don't die. I was a rapper that was real good. I ain't feel safe rapping. Feel safe reporting because people know when they see me, man, I'm not doing, and I'm very respectful. No matter what somebody say, because I tell people, like, if you look at all the comments, people will see 3-4 comments and not realize that this is fun for the city, man. The city having fun with this because it's bringing light to a dark situation. You know, and I don't know what I'm going to see. Sometimes y'all see some. I just did one with the shootout at the Southgate Plaza.
Over there. Where's Southgate Plaza?
Southgate Plaza is far east side by.
I'm thinking about the other one where someone got shot a couple weeks ago.
And now it's to the point where the fall produces more content than summer, surprisingly. You know.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like everybody's getting shot in the summer.
Yeah, but they shootings in the summer be more like, okay, so from doing it, more people drink fall and winter.
Okay.
Than they do in the summer because of heat.
Okay.
So if you notice in the summer, less people was out during the day. They got their mentality, when the sun go down, I'll come out and kick it.
Yeah.
That's why you've seen a lot of stuff happen at nighttime. Fall and winter, it's people outside all day.
Mm-hmm.
People getting drunk to stay warm.
That's all they care about at
so
that
point. So it's a lot of accidents.
What's the demographic of people shooting on the east side or west side? It doesn't really matter which side of town.
Yeah, it go down.
It goes both ways. But like, what age ranges are we talking about here that are most of the shootouts involved?
14 to 25.
That's incredible. That is unbelievable.
And more 14 to 18 than 19 to 25.
And why are we failing? Like, where are we failing?
The access to guns.
Okay.
I have yet to figure out how I'm in the thick of it. I'm in the thick of it. Absolute thick of it. I'm going to figure out how all these guns is hitting the street. Me and Rod's going to get in the thick of it.
We got to figure that out.
Because that's a question. Remember I told you about the games.
Mm-hmm.
If they've mastered the games.
Yeah, you're good.
If they've mastered the games and then you give them the guns, somebody's surely going to die.
That's
what 100%.
It's scary because, man, I'm telling you right now, there's... You, as a parent, I feel like, period. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter your race, your age, or any of that. You feel responsible for these kids and what they're doing. And it's like, what can we do to help? What can we do to change this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the mentality behind it is sick.
Yeah.
Because you have these kids out there that they have no idea. They couldn't understand the value of what life is if they wanted to.
Yeah.
They're not old enough yet, you know? And so, and I feel like sometimes maybe I don't even understand it because maybe I'm not old enough yet. But I'll tell you for a fact right now that...
Mm-hmm.
All these kids dying is like, it's got to stop. It's crazy.
It's never going to stop.
Yeah.
The reason it's never going to stop is because one of the biggest problems we're having is if you just go to a high school and you ask all the high school students, probably 2% get their ass whooped.
Yeah.
Some form of discipline.
Uh-huh.
Something to register to them that for doing this, there will be a consequential action to it. That won't work in your favor. So you might not want to do it. It's absolutely none, yeah. Right? So if it's predominant single parent households in Cleveland and this woman has a child, when you don't whoop that child, it registers that for my actions, only thing that will happen at its greatest capacity is being yelled at.
Yeah, that's it.
A very intense yell.
Yeah.
I can deal with that. That didn't physically stop me. That didn't deter me from doing what I was doing. Matter of fact, I might do it a little more. I might indulge a little more because you're just going to yell at me. And once they figure out your routine, and kids are sponges, so they see everything, I can do almost anything under the sun, and mama come and pick me up if I get in trouble, and she'll yell at me.
Mm-hmm.
Because she feel like she protected me, and because she doesn't want to look at how I turned out as her fault, she'll try to save me before she let me fail and fall. A lot of times these kids get in trouble, and the mom get them out instead of letting their little ass go to juvenile or something so they can learn a disciplinary lesson. You know what I'm saying? So because a lot of kids are not getting disciplined, how can they get better when they're not scared of nothing? This is the most fearless generation I've ever seen, ever in life.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's crazy.
Every race possible, the most fearless. They have no, and then they got to see the pandemic, which means they got to see money getting funneled in, and their parents didn't have to do nothing but stay in the house. They seen a certain level of money. They got internet. They got kids that's doing toy reviews, making millions of dollars, more than adults.
Mm-hmm.
They are so rebellious against the system that they're going to take over the world. And that might not be a good thing.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Do you ever feel like in the space that you're like, okay, better question. What made you indulge in that lifestyle? Like, what was the path for you that allotted for that situation at the time?
The streets?
Yeah.
My mom was working two jobs as a single mom and was never home. With no father figure and being able to go outside because she couldn't keep me in the house, the older guys in the neighborhood is who I looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
I mimic what they did because they was a form of a father, a big brother.
Absolutely.
What they did is what I chose to do. They shot, I shot. They hustled, I hustled.
And that was it.
That was it.
That's, yeah, and that's
what enough mom at home that to save me. It was, mom was there very little, streets was there a whole lot.
Nowadays, when you have somebody, let's say, that's coming up through the hood that mm-hmm. does have a parent at home or both parents at home in the household, they have a well-structured home and stuff like that, but they, you know, they're not wealthy. They're in an impoverished area, right? Is that, are those that don't participate in the gang situations or in the violence and stuff like that, are they looked down upon kind of in a capacity?
No, because it's a street. It's a difference between a street dude and a hood dude.
Yeah.
Like they, so, you know, if my expectations is very low for you, when we go out, if we get in some, I don't expect you to fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't, that's almost a form of bullying if you try to make, that's peer pressure at its finest. Like trying to make your homie be something that you is that he not.
Mm-hmm.
You just accept it. You know what I mean? He might have a strong suit and rizzing up the women. You know, he might got that charisma and charm, you know?
Right.
We expect you to execute when we get in the club and you see the group of chicks.
Yeah.
Get in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He might be the swag one with the clothes and really keep us up on game because we thugging. We don't care. We'll wear a one-piece cohort.
Yeah, don't matter to you.
It don't matter to me. You know what I mean? Same clothes 3 days. He like, man, no, look, I got this new outfit. I got my, you know, let me go get an outfit. So everybody play a role. You respect them in their role and y'all to be cool. I don't want you to be a gangster if you ain't a gangster. We going to die if I try to make you a gangster. If we about to ride and you sitting there and you holding the gun, that split second can get us killed. We don't even want that around us.
What's it like getting shot?
Like turning the iron on and like you about to iron your clothes mm-hmm. and just stick it inside your body wherever the bullet go in at. Just go ahead and just sit that there. Just like that.
That's a crazy good description. That was pretty, I could feel that. That was like really accurate.
I said, that's one of them ones. Yeah, yeah.
In both times, same thing.
Yeah. Hot as hell.
And is it like flashing through your eyes? Are you like, I'm going to die? Or
I'm real.
Or were you just, you're just so numb to that situation at that point where you're just like, oh shit, I got shot.
Hospital needed.
No shit.
Hospital is needed.
Are you good? Everything good? We're running good? You're the producer. So we got an 8-year-old producer.
That's dope. Carter in the building, y'all.
Yeah, let's go.
Shout out Carter.
That's right. Shout out Carter. But that's insane. So with the, you know, we talked about the 14 to 25 age range with a lot of these kids. And I go on the Cleveland Remembrance page and I have a tendency to roll through the comments just like everybody.
Yeah.
And I always love to click on different people. And I will click on these, you know, definitely young men, kids, high school age with guns in their
real
in their,
thugs.
I mean, real thugs.
Real thugging, real thugging.
And I definitely want to sit down with like two or three of them because like
we're going to have to tap in with them. We got to because to be honest, they be want to pop their shit for real. Like they
for
really,
no reason.
Yeah, it get it's aggressive. You know what I mean? Now cuz we going to do some big work together, Rod.
Yeah, no,
we going to definitely have a place where we can get them to bring a couple of homeboys because I see the interviews where people be having them come through with their squad.
Yeah. I'm going to do an interesting one coming up here in LA with in Compton with a couple different sets. And I look forward to that. Mm-hmm. And all in one room, you know? And so that'll be different. And I kind of want to do, I don't know the sets out here or the situation out here like I do out there per se. Not that I know it super well out there, but I know it better. Right. So out here, I really want to kind of dive into that because I want to explore the mentality behind that, but I also don't want to get shot.
Yeah, that's
you know what I'm saying? I think that's pretty reasonable.
No, definitely what you're saying.
Pretty reasonable.
It's like want to explore the world, but not have to deal with the repercussions that could possibly come with it. You ever seen Snow in the Bluff?
No.
Snow in the Bluff is a movie where these people went and was riding through a hood. And they stopped to ask the guy, did he know where some coke or weed was at?
Yeah.
And he ended up taking a camera that they were filming with
mm-hmm.
and just made a, it was a hell of a night.
Oh, I believe it.
It was a hell of a night.
I believe, I've had a couple situations. I mean, we did one, I've done one with some people. I won't mention any names, but yeah, there was I got in a fight out in LA, you know, almost about a year ago. Probably, it was like literally a year ago, actually,
mm-hmm.
with somebody out there from one of the sets. And it was like, man, when it's on, it's on.
Yeah.
When it's on, it's hot, bro. I was like, damn. And I got lucky because I had the right people with me. That was the only reason I was good.
When you see, seeing red in that situation is different than other people because survival is a must. Like if we, it's almost as if sometimes we wonder, did it have to be that bad? But when dealing with people, I learned to assess the situation as I don't know what they're dealing with. I don't know what they're going through. But I know once I see aggression,
I got hit I got sucker punched for standing over somebody.
Yeah, like see? What if you were trying to cut his throat?
Well, that's it. Well, but it's so from where I'm from, like that would never be a. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It would just be like, yo, back up. You know, and it wasn't intentional that I was doing it either. It wasn't like I was. You know what I mean? We were just having a dialogue. But yeah, he's like, I saw you clench your fist like you're about to hit me.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he just comes from a different space where he didn't understand like. That wasn't it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Out the gate, I can't worry about your reason.
Shout out Compton Menace helping me out on that one.
Shout out
Menace, bro.
You see him here, man. Look, you see him here today.
Yeah, man. Menace. Because
of you. Shout out to you, man.
Man, Menace went in for the tackle on that one because he knew it was about to get worse than that.
It was going
to
get ugly.
Oh, it was going to get bad. Yeah, everybody was pissed at me afterwards. They're like, you could have got us fucking killed. I'm like, sorry, dude. I didn't know. And it was my bad.
This city has a lot of people that can piece together. It's like surviving Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Like they be doing these surviving people.
Mm-hmm.
Like surviving Cleveland is serious because to survive here is really like an accolade. It's not something that you just, I could survive anywhere in the world. I don't care where you put me.
But you know what's fucked up, dude, is you go to Westlake, Rocky River, Bay Village, all those other spaces out there,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't comprehend, they couldn't understand, they ignore it like it doesn't happen.
That's because it ain't happening to
exactly.
them. You know, exactly. To them, think about this. Across that bridge right there, right?
Yep.
That's far.
Yeah.
Like, if this Rocky River and that's West 117, just, you know, mm-hmm. per se, it's people that would never cross this distance.
Oh, for sure.
Because of the perception of where I'm from. So some people save just because it's people in Parma that don't worry about nothing because it's known that Newburgh Heights, Parma is just places where certain people don't want to ride through.
Because the police will pull you over for anything.
Yeah, so some places they don't see the chaos. And a lot of times the people that be on Instagram, it's not limited to just poverty or rich people. It's all type of people, you know what I mean? So you don't know. I've had people be like, over to you. And I'll look, and it'll be athletes from here. Mm-hmm. It'll be a politician. It'll be like, I didn't know how far my reach was until I started seeing certain people address me.
Okay.
And I was like, because I'm not going through looking to see who the 180,000 people is that just watched the
video. Oh, of course not.
You know, I'm like, I'm not going through it at all. I'm just like, send it over. It go up. I go on by my day. I might put a comment. After that, that's it.
Would you believe that this statistic, homicides are down by almost 40% from 70 murders in the summer of 2023 to 44 in the summer of 2024? This is coming from a Spectrum News article by Nora McGowan. I don't know how accurate that is.
I could believe it.
You really? You think so? And why do you think, is there a reason why you think it's down? Or are we getting smarter? Are we getting better? Are we in the process of fixing this?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. And we're going to touch, we need to go into this.
Yeah.
This is big right here.
Yeah.
It was less of the young guys shooting and more of you little motherfuckers taking kids. The kid boys epidemic in Cleveland, Ohio is something y'all wouldn't understand. Listen.
Yo, you would not. It's all the time.
They're like taunting now. Like they're dancing and doing dances while they're still in vehicles. Y'all got to go on CRP and look at like the last week. They're hitting every kid possible.
And are they going outside of East Cleveland and outside of the West
everywhere.
Side?
Everywhere. Like, they spread.
I feel like the bad shit goes on from West 117th to like, what do you think on the east side? I'm not super familiar.
About East Cleveland?
Yeah, about East Cleveland.
Euclid getting actually out Euclid's of body.
Getting
South
crazy.
Euclid is getting out of wild.
Yeah.
That's, we had two cops killed this year so far.
Yeah, that's sad.
You know what I mean? So really, it's intensifying for the people that is doing it, but it's digressing as far as the amount of people that's doing it. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, it's less than the 70, but we ain't had two cops die in Cleveland last year.
No, but you see it happening. And what I see happening is everybody get more brazen. Everybody's getting more like these Kia boys. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that these guys are getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. They are going to court and they are being told one of two things. We don't have fucking room for you.
We don't got no room.
We ain't got no room for you. Or, oh, well, your crime isn't bad enough for me to put you in jail right now. I'm going to send you back home to your mom or dad who isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Charge the parent. Watch what start happening. But then again, you charge the parent. You have to make an example out of somebody so it'd be a big enough story. Like, kid boys got to get 20 years.
Somebody's got to get a lot of time.
There's got to be some serious.
Because they're doing it. And what's so frustrating about it is it's not like they're like, doing it because they don't have a car and they need a car to get to work or they need a car to drop their, you know, to, you know, whatever they got going on, right? It's not for useful shit. Like, they're just hanging out the fucking window.
Joyriding.
You know, that's really all it is. And the other danger.
It's bad.
But
and they go on high-speed chases and people
that,
be dying.
Why is that what's fun? That's what I don't understand. Like, hey.
Because
like,
they could take the car in 36 seconds.
Yeah, but, like, I get that. But, like, why? I mean, is it an adrenaline rush? Like, I don't, there's no purpose.
Being a kid driving a car? If you was 14 and you pulled up on six girls driving a car, it don't matter if it's a hoopty. You don't think they're going to look at you and think you cool as hell?
I was a huge pussy at 14, so there's no way I would have ever done it. There's no way.
Well, in that case,
there's a 0%. I'll tell you what. I would have started crying if I was in the car that was getting stolen. There's no way.
And it's crazy because I'd be seeing them hop out of car six deep.
Dude, they do.
Like,
yeah,
it'd be a lot of them.
Well, yeah. And then, well, it's the best, and this is not to condone the videos, but the best is when they eventually bail on the car, and it's like a clown car, bro, and like six
out the doors, trunk open up, jump out the trunk. Maybe somebody come out the hood.
And there's like two
crazy
cops, and they're just like, God, fuck my life.
Yeah,
right now.
I don't know. They get that one. He's the slowest. Get the guy right there. I can't catch that guy. Yeah. He's gone.
He's gone. We're not even worried about him. We got him on camera, I think. You know?
The camera system is crazy. So they got this thing they're doing now. Let me put y'all on game. So Newburgh Heights, people always see him on the side of the road, right? And when they see him on the side of the road, he got this gun.
Yeah.
But he's never in his car.
You're talking about on 77 over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's never in the car, but he got the gun. And people are like, he's always there. They didn't know that the new technology is advanced. His gun has a camera on it. When he pulls the trigger on the gun for a speeding vehicle, he takes a picture of your plate.
No shit.
Then you get a ticket in the mail.
So he ain't pulling you over.
He's not even in his car.
So that's why he's standing on the side of the road.
He just taking pictures of the place, and then they send it in the mail.
But there's the other one on Newburgh, though, too. And if you're going southbound on 77.
He's sitting in the cut up by the tree.
Right next to the tree.
Yeah, right next to the tree.
Right next to the tree.
He ain't going to get you either.
He's just going to take a picture.
They taking pictures galore. And people getting, I got one in the mail. That's how I know. I'm telling y'all what I know. I got one in the mail. They sent me one for going 60.
But I believe. Now, here's a key to victory. And this is where you win. So on those tickets, okay, because they're not pulling you over. They're not making contact. They're not showing you a gun, right? What you can do is you can call up there and go, hey, man, it'll be like a $50 ticket or $100 ticket, whatever it is, and be like, I only have, you know, $30. You know, that's all I got for this. Like, that's all I can afford. And sometimes they will take that.
Yeah, for sure.
They will.
It's
make
all
a
about
deal
money.
With you.
They can't.
Don't care about nothing.
You're never going to get locked up. You're going to get a warrant, traffic warrant. Then when they pull you over, they're going to say, advise and release. Let him know he got a ticket.
And the reason that is because the police are not here always to protect you. I think there's some still out there, but the majority of them, very few, are being basically puppeted as a collection agency. That's it.
The police are definitely a collection
agency. That's all it is. It's a collection
agency. My sister had gotten an accident, and the state troopers drove her home.
Yeah, that's kind of nice, though.
Certain people are not supposed to go home at the moment. And she went home the same night. A very bad accident.
And when she should have been to the hospital is what you're saying.
No, she should have went to jail.
Oh, she was drinking.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's very odd, actually. But she got a ticket and all that
stuff.
Like,
they can't do nothing. There's nowhere to put you.
And I also feel bad for the police, too, because sometimes it's like twofold, right? Because, like, there's part of me that, like, listen, man, when something bad happens, I'm calling the police. Right, and I don't think cops sign up to be cops to collect money. I really don't. I genuinely don't think anybody.
I don't think
goes,
they do, but I think once they get in the thick of it, they realize.
Well, this is it.
This
right?
is my assignment.
If you do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to move up, mm-hmm. and then guess what? You're going to get paid more. You're going to have more power, right? Mm-hmm. Which power is addicting? Period.
Very much so.
Right, and so you come into a situation where it's like, well, wait a second. If I write 100 tickets, I talked to a local police officer. I won't name the place or who it is, but he told me, and this is like a couple weeks ago. He's like, yeah, like you have to write X amount of tickets. right? For, and you know what I mean, for to for your month, right? And if you do, and they push you to do so, right? And if you're not, you're going to be reprimanded, you're going to be yelled at, things like that. And
you probably won't have a job. So
all you're, because all you're doing in reality is like, you don't, it's not that you don't give a shit, it's that, you know, your highest priority isn't the guy going 27 and a 25, right? But it ends up being just a money situation in so many of these cities. You know, that's all it is.
Cleveland is one size, but when you add all the suburbs to it that we count as Cleveland, this place is a monstrosity.
Dude,
it's monstrosity. Like huge. Like Parma, because you can literally drive and be in another city, and unless you see the welcome sign, you don't even realize it. Like if you go up Buckeye, you'll be in Shaker.
Mm-hmm.
From literally from 130th like to Southmoreland, another city. You can go up Kinsman to get the Chagrin. Literally just driving through the hood, boop, and then it don't change instantly and look like the suburbs. You know, you can go up from Turney and end up in Maple Heights and then in Bedford. It's right. Hood parts of Bedford.
Is there a particular part of Cleveland that you would say is the worst part?
Probably down the way.
Really?
Probably down the way. And that's because they have so many projects and apartment complexes. All the apartments going across, it get dangerous. Because they beef is generational. That's all I'm saying. Their dads grew up there.
Yeah.
Then they had them there. Now the little homies then grew up. So I don't like y'all neighborhood because my cousin got killed by y'all. No different than how in Compton in L.A., you'll hear them talk about the generational beef that we just can't subside. Too much has been done. Too much bloodshed. Too many lives lost. They lose a lot of lives down there. And it's not something where today a life lost and next week, no. They know to stay within their parameters. There's no, you don't go out of bounds down there at all.
Ever.
Ever. Don't go out of, you die out of bounds. And knowing that, you just don't go out of bounds. You know what I mean? If you from these projects, 30th projects, you stay in your compound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anywhere else you go, you drive. But you don't walk to this store closed, so you walk to Longwood. No.
What percentage of young men will use the 14 to 25 demographic? Do you think are carrying guns over on that side of town or your west side? Any of the hoods?
100%.
Yeah, I figured.
100.
Yeah.
Most of the guys dying between that age group die with their gun on them. It's literally quick draw. It's whoever pulled theirs the fastest, target the best, or got the most bullets to cover the most ground.
And is there anybody that's off limits?
In the city?
Yeah.
Like, can't be touched? Yeah, we got a few, you're not a big hat because you sell a lot of drugs in Cleveland. That'll actually make you a target. You'll be a big hat because you put in enough work where people respect your dean. They understand, like, he pressure, but at the same time, he for the people. If you for the people and you gangster,
you'll be all right.
You good. You're going to be great.
And that's what I found out in L.A. It has nothing to do with anything other than who you're with and who you know.
That's it.
If you show up with the right person, you're going to be just fine.
If my mama got in a situation and I think you can help her, and I'm the biggest killer in the city,
yeah,
no one can make me kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, if I think you can help, that's why I took reporting. Because as much as they see me on the spot, you also notice that I do reports on stuff that happened. So if somebody deal with injustice, they're going to hit me up way before 3, 5, 8, or 19.
Well, you know what you said earlier today, and this is actually just brings me back to this point, is you said earlier today, you know, if my friend's not a gangster or anything like that, not living that life, I'm not going to subject him to that.
No.
And I've had that exact same experience where I've been shielded. I spent a lot of time like with like Menace out there. Shout out Compton Menace again. I spent a ton of time with him. He's shown me around, take me to the Crenshaw car show. I filmed with him, all this stuff.
Right.
And man, like, anytime, like, anything could even potentially pop off, he's like, all right, yo.
Yeah.
Go.
That ain't your lane.
Yeah.
I don't expect that from you. And I don't want to see you hurt or harmed for something I can alleviate.
No.
I got this.
He took us into a couple different spaces. And even in my eyes, I was like, man, I feel like you're almost in a way kind of exposing yourself. You know what I mean? Not because I'm doing anything bad or anything, because my intent is to.
Because he's taking up with somebody that's what they would think of the outsider.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if I couldn't be a bigger outsider. I'm from Rocky River, Ohio. You know what I'm saying?
But you got to think. See, that'd be the thing. It'd be the, if they really mean when they say the who you know. Like, who you know is everything. It's not really about what you know. I mean, because what if you know a substantial amount of information in this regard, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this regard doesn't do nothing for you. Like, what if you're the smartest professor in biochemist, right? But you can't find a biochemist job.
Yeah, yeah.
who cares what you're good at? Like, well, who cares what you know? It's really like who you know. That menace, Compton Menace, literally is a guardian angel for you.
Man, for real.
People can't say that. You know what I mean? People can't say that they got somebody to get them out of some shit.
No, and he is.
They're being this shit together.
And that's the other. I met him in Venice, and I'll never forget that. I went to a movie premiere for a Mel Gibson movie that a good buddy, Michael Oblowitz of mine, directed. Shout out, Michael. You're the man. We're doing another film right now, actually, with him. But we went to this movie premiere, and my videographer at the time was like with a couple people. We brought him back to our Airbnb. We were hanging out, and she's like, "Hey, do you want to interview Compton Menace?" The guy from Straight Outta Compton. I go, abso-fucking-lutely. Like, why would I not? So right. He came over to kick it because he was in the area. And we were chilling, smoking, doing our thing. And then he goes, I'll do the podcast. But you gotta come to me. You know? And we did like a barbecue with all the Pyrus down there. A lot of them being like Fruit Town Pyrus and stuff like that. And that's where we did the interview. And man, that's where I got my taste of that situation. Where I was like, man, it's so interesting.
It's
so interesting.
To be honest,
it's sad too, but it's perfect.
Me and you together, it's gonna be a crazy because it's the perfect mixture. Two intellectual men from two different demographics trying to get an understanding. I'm not in the business of changing the world.
Right.
As far as like, hey, this is what you should do.
Right.
But dialogue can take people a lot further. You know what I mean?
Oh,
somebody
yeah.
from your demographic listening to me or somebody from mine listening to you get to see the other side. It's no different than a lot of people through the years asking me about prison. Because they probably never, ever going to go.
Yeah.
They ask enough questions so they can kind of live in it. You ever notice that unless you lost your imagination and you lost your ability to really be a visionary, you can see pretty much anything somebody like described to you in full detail. You can like really see it. So sometimes when I explain meals or I explain situations, a person could see it as long as I was detailed enough. And that's what we just do is just get in the thick of this whole Cleveland thing. It's bigger than just Cleveland, but it's a place that if more people was aware, like once people start listening to us and we start being repetitious with this,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna stay tuned in because you wouldn't believe it. Like when you say the big C's, you think for crime, California, Chicago, you know. Cleveland is like high on every list of everything wrong.
Yeah, it is.
Very beautiful. You know, you got to get in the inside of it. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, something that nowhere else has. Like it has memorabilia and stuff from the greatest of everybody of every
time. I just took Carter actually to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and we had a really good time.
Like Elvis Presley stuff in there, Michael, James Brown, it don't matter. It black, white,
I love
blue.
Seeing the Michael Jackson shit.
It's like
crazy.
Amazing, you know. So much stuff here. We have like landscape, while we have so much greenery and stuff. But when I tell you surviving here, maintaining here, and striving here is hard, one of the most ununified places you're ever gonna see, but also one of the most talented Superman from here. If you think about that alone, it's like the third highest grossing superhero in history
mm-hmm.
of man. That's big. Made at Glenville High School. Got a plaque on 105 in St. Clair, which most people won't even go look at because you'll die on 105 in St. Clair
yeah.
for going to look at the damn plaque. So which is six streets away from where Bone Thugs and Harmony grew up at, East 99th.
And is the reason they're killing to provide the street cred at that point? Is that like, are they trying to prove themselves? Is that why they're killing? Or are they killing because it's like say...
I mean, you only be proving it to your set because you ain't just going out broadcasting you kill somebody.
Of course not.
So in your set, you can... You're not ranking up in Cleveland because we're not gang-based.
Yeah,
neighborhood-based.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if little Timmy kills something, we just know to keep our motherfucking mouth closed.
Yeah.
Like, he don't become the... second general, second arm, or
yeah.
lieutenant, or no, your ass, where you at? Cause we don't rank. There's no third star, four star, five star general in the hood.
Imagine the crimes that would be solved if the streets all talked. I mean, just imagine.
Man, it'd be nuts. It would be absolutely bonkers.
Yo,
if
the CRP would have
man,
way too much on their hands.
If
at that
they
point.
Knew, if y'all knew what I know, did. They love me in this city. They tell me everything. And I hear them, and they show me everything, but I don't, you know, put all that out to the public. But
well, you can't.
No, you can't.
There's a lot of things too that I've done interviews and stuff. I cut a lot of stuff.
I delete.
Yeah, me too.
So when they come to my phone, I delete it and they ask. I don't want no parts.
Yeah.
Because I mean, but they wanted somebody to talk to. They wanted somebody they felt like can actually make a difference. People actually hit me up and tell me stuff that I'd be sometimes like, the guy with the alligator. Right. Hey man, could you help me get my alligator back?
I saw that.
Where your alligator at? Then the lady's daughter called me like, hey, my mom got stabbed 14 times by her boyfriend. Can you go to the hospital? I go to the hospital. She in a room with two CPD outside her door at Metro.
Yeah.
They let me in, clear me. You know what I mean? So when these people hit me up, those are the ones people see me do. The guy who mom-in-law hit me up about, hey, they trying to make my son-in-law look bad because he just defended himself and killed somebody, and the media about to try to shred him. And telling his side of the story, it dropped on Friday, Saturday morning, Channel 8 and Channel 19 put out the story as if he was just a criminal. But he already had my story, and I'm way bigger than them on social media. There is no news source bigger than us on the social media.
Not over here. No, because here's the deal. And I think everybody likes this. I think everybody likes where you're headed with this, and this is the reason I think. Is because you're from the hood, you report it exactly how you see it, and it reported exactly how it's given to you. If you don't believe shit, you kind of call it what it is, right? That's a whole situation. You leave things alone when you don't know, right? You're not skeptical necessarily in those kind of situations.
Be quiet.
Yeah, it just is what it is. But the biggest thing I think is the trust situation with you, because I'm sure you get people from multiple neighborhoods, multiple hoods, calling you or hitting you up.
All types of. And it
is totally up to you then at that point to keep it cool. Because
always,
yeah, and that's a good space.
Don't nobody challenge me. I don't have no and knock on wood, but God blessing me, but I don't deal with no confrontation whatsoever.
I don't think you're gonna have
at all. It's not something I'm doing that's making people. It's even been times where like a kid, like the one with the Kia boys, crashed in front of the police station.
Yeah,
and then the parents hit me up and was like, "Man, could you please take it down?" But like I said, you didn't call Channel 35819. We didn't do that.
Yeah,
we took the news for what it was informed by it, and went on about our day. Because you have access to me, and I'm an open book.
Did you respond to them and say, hey,
I'm very respectful. I don't disrespect nobody.
I would. You're a better man than me.
I'll say something.
Don't
like,
you ever want to be like, instead of hitting me up, why don't you be a better parent to your kid? Because obviously he's in the wrong path.
No, I might think it, but I'll tell you why not. You know why? Because the comments. Say that 1,000 times
over.
But
the funniest thing is it's not funny, but it's kind of fucked up, but it's kind of funny. Because what happens is it'll be like, so-and-so, you know, was shot and killed the other day, right?
And then in the comments, like, oh, my baby was, you know what I'm saying?
And like, then somebody right up under that comment be like, fuck your baby, he was a killer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The only reason people... For real. That fuck your baby be hurting them parents.
Yeah, we know what's going on.
Because they over here like, man, no, he was such a good. No, the fuck he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
He fucked my sister when she was 16 and he was 20. Yeah. He deserved to die. They be saying some crazy shit.
Some crazy shit, and
that's the comment section. And I got to take it because somebody might want to crack a little fat joke or somebody want to. But I deal with very little disrespect. If people just go through all the comments, you'll see so little. Or you'll see like...
You know you hit a nerve if they're talking shit about you,
oh,
for real.
Because
you know they're not necessarily involved, but you know that they know who's involved.
They know exactly what's going on. When they start to try to go like super low, I'll say something like muted, or I'll say something high, and then I'll get more likes with my response than they got with their initial comment. So clearly, you lost.
We're all on the CRP for the comments,
dude. The comments are crazy.
For the longest time, here's another thing. Here's a misconception. Filio is not the CRP.
No.
Okay? So that makes it even cooler, though.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a double whammy.
They're getting it hit with it. Bam. And I'm getting it over to them as soon as I'm done, and they just post it.
Yeah.
And I never met the people that run CRP.
That's even more gangster.
That's crazy.
Honestly, I'm being real with you. That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
You should
real.
See how long you go without meeting him. Just keep it rocking.
I ain't ever had a need to ask to meet him. You know?
Don't need
it's
to.
It's always like, because I don't want them knowing I don't know them.
Yeah.
Literally makes it so much easier to do this whole thing.
Well, hopefully nothing ever happens to you, because who's going to report that shit?
Hey, if anybody, if something ever happened to me and you
I'll pull up.
Yeah, look, Raj. Y'all see Raj on the scene, man. You know, he got the exclusive, y'all. Nobody else better not say nothing about the boy, okay? Only Raj got that, man.
What's the goal for Filio? Like, you started reporting. You're doing great. We're 9 months in. We're killing it. Mm-hmm. And have you found your quote-unquote purpose with this yet?
Nothing. My life wasn't set up for that. So I knew it was my assignment and purpose once I did the first one and I seen the response. And then I was driving around for like a week and I kept seeing stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. This ain't normal because I'm already not skilled in it, but you're putting me in situations, God, that let me keep sharpening my skills.
Isn't that amazing how that works?
It's amazing. When they say overnight success ain't possible.
It's possible.
I've never in my life reported nothing. No media school, no broadcasting school, nothing. And
I think it makes it better, though, because you're all natural with it.
All natural. I be messing up words sometimes. I'm a hood reporter.
Dude, it happens all the time.
Yeah. I mean, as a hood reporter, I love the fact that it's authentic. It's raw. But I knew why so many people was gravitating to it. They thought I was a superhero.
What do you want to improve the most about your reporting that you like are maybe tough on yourself about?
Nothing.
You like what you do. I like what you do.
I like literally, because remember,
the only thing that I wish you would do sometimes is get some gangster on scene interviews.
I'd be having somewhere if you listen to them, the people, but people ain't.
I know people don't like to talk.
They be saying some stuff that be. They be saying some nut.
I know. That's why I need you to do it, dude. It's so funny.
They be, sometimes they be saying some real nutty. And I be like, yeah, I can't. Okay, you know what? Let me go ahead. Because sometimes people, they be thinking about how to get some fame.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But they ain't thinking about processing what they saying. So sometimes they come out like crazy.
From your reporting.
Yeah.
Do you think anything has ever been said in the comments or whatever, something to that effect based on your report that is then in turn, not that it's your fault, then in turn created a bigger problem on the streets?
Hell no.
You don't think so?
No, like I report on something and that opens the door for some problems to occur?
Not you. No.
No, what like I'm not saying, saying is, that I
say,
called
Let's
them.
Say this. Let's say somebody gets shot right here, mm-hmm. right? You go down there and you report it and mm-hmm. then somebody comments like, yeah, fuck him. I hate him. And then somebody else sees it from somewhere else, and it becomes an issue. Does that make sense?
Never.
No.
It's crazy. I ain't had 9 months. I've had, this is all I got. I don't have no problems. I be where all the gangsters at, all the killers at. I be where out in this actual, I be right there at Club Ford. Shout out to the location, too. But I'd be right there at Club Ford. I'd be right up the street at Power.
Yeah.
I'd go over to Manor and go to downtown Manor and party. I'd be in the thick of it, out the thick of it. I'd be everywhere. I ain't ducking nothing. So because I'm always outside and I see people, and it's, man, hey, keep it up. Hey, man, we love that. They just love because they know where I came from. You know what I mean? They're seeing somebody really make it out.
Do you feel a conflict of interest sometimes with the cops? Because you did live a life at one point that was against them. Rightfully so, you understand that they are a collection agency and what they're about.
No, they big. They know I'm big gangster.
Yeah.
And I know they big gangster.
Yeah.
They the biggest gang in the world.
They are.
You know what I mean? And they know how I'm stepping. They don't give me no problems. When I get on the scene, I don't even know sometimes how I get where I get. Sometimes, y'all, it be literally God. I'll be walking, and then one cop would nod, and over to you, and I'll be like,
cool.
Okay, clear him. Then I like getting a thick of it, and they just look and see me and like, he's not.
I've never had a bad experience yet, personally, with a Cleveland cop.
I had a Cleveland cop slam me on my head and kick me in my head when I was 20.
That probably felt good.
Yeah, it was painful.
Yeah.
And I ran. I ran. He said, bitch, you gonna run?
Oh, wow.
And
so he taunted you and then tackled you.
Yes.
That's kind of rough.
It was. That was a painful.
Yeah, I believe that. Your ego probably hurt a little bit after
that.
Yeah,
my ego was hurt a lot, especially being who I am. I was mad at him because I had to run. What the fuck you chasing me for?
Could you guys imagine some body cam footage of Filio running for the cops? Get his head getting slammed on his head.
Man down. All right. I'm about to video you.
Yeah, go for it. Do you ever think that there's going to be a time for you where you elevate this to a situation where you're doing this full-time, all day, every day, full-time job? Is that where you're at now, or is that what you're looking to do?
I want to go podcast.
Yeah, dude, this is the way to go.
I mean, really, because I do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I do reporting, but outside of me, like, building a TikTok and a YouTube up and just letting it content. Yeah. Think how much content I got. Like, oh, I already could just post once a week and just build it up. But the podcast, like, it's so much more in-depth when people get to hear these conversations.
Well, and it's important, I think, because stuff like this is, like, and I'm always down for people to reach out to me, too. Like, if anybody ever had an issue or, like, needed to have a conversation or, you know, mm-hmm. wasn't sure about what they were doing with their life, stuff like that, man, I've been there. I've been lost like that. I understand what it's like. But I also feel bad for a lot of the people that are going through things, especially on that side of town in those bad neighborhoods. And it's like you feel helpless in a capacity where you want to help. You want to make things better, but it just doesn't work like that all the time.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the autonomy sometimes that helping is very selective. You can't, as much as we want to help, we have to be okay with the fact that sometimes we got to start with helping our damn self. Yeah. That's it. Help yourself and then help others.
Yeah.
Outside that,
no.
You're planning to fail.
You're a dad. You're a father.
I met him 3 months ago.
Your dad?
Yeah. My biological
really?
Father.
Really? Tell
months
me about
ago,
that.
4 months ago now. Ancestry DNA is real.
No shit, you did that?
I did it.
I'm too afraid to do it.
I did it, and I found out a way. I found out a lot.
No way. So yep. did you tracked him down?
It tracked him down. I ain't do nothing.
No way.
I just filled it out, did my swab. I found out about a sister first, half sister because of the dad. The guy popped up and said it was my dad. I went to my mom, hey, you know who this is? Oh, fuck. What? And I was like, wait, you know, because somebody said that they sent the dog saliva in and it came back to a human on Ancestry.
Oh, shit, for
so
real.
So they were trying to debunk it and say it wasn't real. My daddy found me after 36 years because of Ancestry DNA. Shout out Ancestry.
What'd you find out about your dad?
He a bitch. Straight up bitch.
Really?
Straight up bitch. Like, I'm surprised he even made greatness like he did. My brother dope as hell. So, like, and I got, let me tell you something else. I found that I got, like, 17 siblings in 11
really?
States. Yep.
That's a lot.
Man, it's
so
too
he
many.
Was out there just.
He don't even know how many. 17 is what he knows.
So
he was dropping
just,
dick and
he
going.
He was pumping and dumping.
Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. That was him.
Man.
For real, that was him. Real talk. He was a dangerous individual. But made some pretty wholesome kids, but he's a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
And he asked me for some money like the third week of knowing me. He was like, I see you reporting. Oh, that's great, son.
That's kind of when you know.
I'm about to have to move in a minute. You think you can send me some? I know you got it.
Yeah.
I said, shit, I ain't got nothing. I'm broke.
I always tell people I'm broke. I
broke,
just got to stay like that. It's better that way.
It's a good way to live. If you can't accept that I'm broke, then what the fuck do it matter if I got money?
I like spending my money on traveling and my son. That's it.
That's a good thing to spend money on.
That's it. I don't really like spending money on anything else.
That's a good thing to spend money on. Yeah. That's a big ass couch.
Yeah.
No. That,
oh, that one. Yeah, that, dude. That one over there.
Hey, this couch is massive.
No, that couch
man.
Is
Look,
crazy, bro.
This couch is crazy.
I want to go sit on it, but I don't know if you can.
I was literally just thinking, like, man, if I could get up on that,
I
would
up,
do a report on that.
They pulled up yesterday, and I was like, damn, like, what the hell is this? And they pulled up, it had tarp.
What they pull
over.
Up with it? How they? What they do?
Dude, they pulled up on a truck, and it had a tarp over it. And I was like, oh, like, you know, I'm not thinking twice. We're down in the flats,
right?
That's how this goes. And shit pulls up, and then like I look out after I took a shower yesterday, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And it's just
that's dope.
It's like the big comfy couch, but doesn't look that comfortable.
I
want
to take a picture on that, a report, and send it to CBS.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
Like, that's a big ass couch, though. Like, I wanted to, like, cushion.
Dude, how cool would it have been if we could have done the podcast on that couch?
That'd been crazy.
That'd have been crazy.
We're going to do some great shit together.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
This is so dope. Everybody, this is so dope, man. I am with, man. Hey, y'all wouldn't believe Raj Pai said pull up today.
Yeah, we're good. So, listen, we're going to wrap up, but I'm going to tell you what. We're coming back. We're coming in hot. So, hey, Filio, thanks for coming, bro. And this is just the start.
Man,
so,
this is just a start, man.
This is just a start.
Whenever I feel comfortable, man, it get real, man. We could do this, man. We're going to have some great stuff ahead. We're going to mix it up. We could talk a little sport. We're going to talk to y'all about Cleveland sports, too.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is a very big sports town with some very shitty sports fans. That's, I've seen some shit take place. If the Browns lose, somebody getting their ass whooped. That's just... That's just what we notice. If Browns lose, somebody getting their ass whooped in downtown Cleveland. Okay? That's just what's happening. So, Browns, from me and Raj to you, please win so we don't have no assaults and batteries downtown. Because if y'all lose, Stefanski and the team, somebody getting their ass whooped over to you.